Welcome back to the 3 Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
Little White Ball is live.
We got the whole crew back. What's up, boys?
Hey.
I'm Scotty T, and I'm joined by T-Bone and KJ. Y'all doing all right?
Never better.
It's been a while.
It has. You know, last week, our friend Trey Cassidy came in pretty clutch. Some scheduling conflicts, some miscommunication as well, probably on my end, or KJ's end. I don't know. Could be either one. Actually, you know, me and Trey, we have a suspicion that you just don't want to be here whenever Trey comes in.
Oh, that's confirmed.
That's confirmed?
Yeah.
Why is that? Did he scare you off or
no?
What's going on?
I'm just messing with him. I actually like to see Trey. I ran into him, you know, 2 weeks ago at Schlotsky's, but I hadn't seen him since. I like to go play golf with him or hang out with him, you know.
Let's go tee it up.
Shit about golf a little bit, but every time I come in, he's not here.
Let's go tee it up a pine. I think that'd be fun.
I don't know about fun, but we should do it.
What's up, y'all? We're having a good time. I don't even know what's going on. Okay, we're coming to you from Houston. Houston, Texas. Check us out on social media at 3UnderParPod. The number 3UnderParPod, Twitter and Instagram. The audio sounds a little bit different. We're still working with different microphones because in case you didn't hear, we got robbed. Literally, we got robbed. We found a third microphone for KJ.
Or someone's borrowing our equipment and just hasn't returned it.
If they have, then that's a sick joke.
I think
T-Bone,
it
is that you?
No.
Well, is there anything you'd like to share with everybody?
I mean, did you take my computer and back window?
I don't know. Go check the pawn shop down the road.
Yeah.
It's probably over there.
My computer is probably right next to our equipment, sound equipment. So maybe we can get a package deal.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's tough, but the show goes on. We're still doing it.
It must.
So check us out on social media, and wherever you're listening to this, please subscribe, write us a review on Apple Podcasts, preferably, and give us a 5-star rating, because we want to hear from you on how we're doing. We may or may not go with some outside-the-ropes questions, because this one, we're going to talk a lot of Open Championship. The British Open or the Open? I don't know. Some people are kind of particular about what you call it. Anyway, it's the longest, oldest major that's been going on. Literally been playing since 1860. That was a long time ago. 1860s. That's like Civil War era.
Yeah, that's a while ago. I'm sure Brandel Chambly loves all the golfers from the 1860s.
What'd you call it?
Hickory shafted dusty fucks.
That's right.
What?
If you played golf before 45.
No way, shit, he said that.
No, he said that.
Okay, that's believable.
You thought Brandel said that?
Oh, my God.
I've decided if you played golf before, 1950.
So pre-World War II?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Hickory.
Dusty fucks is what stands out.
I love it.
That's what you're going with.
Anything that's hickory shafted. Have you ever hit a hickory shafted club
I haven't.
Before? It's hard. It sucks.
Yeah.
It's different golf, and that's why it's almost very impressive the way that some guys could play with terrible equipment. There's like, it's literally wooden shafts and balls where if you literally hit it the wrong way, you could slice through the ball. It's weird times. So, all right, we're off to a really good start here, I feel like. But we're gonna go with some John Deere Classic to touch on it before we dive into the Open Championship. Another first-time winner, Dylan Fratelli. Ends up with the win. Didn't really see it coming. And honestly, I didn't see anything coming this week because I feel like the last 3 weeks has been boring in golf. It's been just very stagnant. What do y'all think?
It's like a waiting game. Just waiting for the good stuff to happen and then
get
Dylan Fratelli, who I've seen his name like twice in my entire life. Don't really know who the guy is.
Really?
And Ches Reavie, you know.
Ches Reavie.
Really big stars.
Yeah.
I'm going to be completely honest. I'm becoming a tennis guy. I know we've kind of joked about. I'm going to get back to Little White Ball's life, but right now, medium-sized yellow furry ball's kind of life. Wimbledon was yesterday, and it was awesome.
Electric.
And
that was actually really fun to watch.
And I don't care about golf right now. So I'm ready for the British Open to happen so I can get back into golf mode. These last few weeks haven't really done it for me.
I don't know if I could really even tell you who the last few winners were, and we've talked about it. Because it is a lot of first-time winners, so it's kind of like the dead time in sports just in general. I mean, NBA free agency is kind of the biggest news. What's going on? Shout out to Russell Westbrook coming to Houston. But this is a golf podcast, so we're going to stay, try to stay on topic. But it's weeks like this where, you know, if guys who maybe need to make some extra cash or need to try to move up the leaderboard on the FedEx Cup points, these are the weeks to do it. You had Russell Henley finish second. Okay, let's just go through this. Andrew Landry, Colin Morikawa, which he's one of those rookies that he's a baller.
He's going to be a stud. He's been up there the last 2 weeks.
Right. And then you had Chris Stroud finish fourth, Charles Howe the third, Nick Watney. Haven't heard of Nick Watney in forever. He was a – he could ball at one point.
Did y'all see that lip out he had?
No.
I'm talking like over 360. Ooh. It was brutal, and it was going very slow. I don't know how it disappeared and didn't stay down.
Yeah. Granted, we did have Matthew Wolf win last week, though, and he was electric. He played again this week along with Victor Hovland. But when it comes to the John Deere Classic, people have like a weird fascination with the John Deere Classic. Some people even call it the fifth major.
What? last time I watched the John Deere Classic was when Jordan holed out. That was the last time I watched the actual John Deere Classic.
Right. I think that kind of proves what I'm trying to say, though, is that first-time winners win at tournaments like the John Deere Classic.
Cause the
it's good, yeah.
The bigger names take off, and they're gone.
Right.
Either they're preparing for the Open or whatever's that week, or they're trying to get acclimated, so they're over there playing the Scottish Open.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, especially the week before the Open, where you got to travel overseas, you got the time difference to worry about. There wasn't a single player in the top 50 in the world who played this week at the John Deere Classic. But, hey, Dylan Fratelli, he gets to play in the Open Championship now. So, that's pretty cool for him. I do know
I was going to say, I don't know what happened to him. I knew him in college. He made that huge putt in the national championship.
Yep.
That pretty historic Alabama team as well as UT team.
Mm-hmm.
He made that putt, went crazy. I remember all that, and I hadn't heard about him again until yesterday. And he looks like Clark Kent, which is kind of funny. Has he been, like, hiding in the phone booth? I don't know.
So are you saying he's more like Clark Kent or more like Superman?
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't make sense. You know what I'm trying to say. He was Superman yesterday, but he looks like Clark Kent, and he's been acting like him, too, in the phone booth. Hiding out in the phone booth.
Okay.
I just came up with that on the spot. That's pretty cool.
It's not bad. That's not bad. Yeah, you know, that 2012 team at Texas, really good. I mean, obviously, they won the national championship. Dylan Fratelli, that's the only year that Jordan Spieth was at Texas as well. You had Cody Gribble. All three guys are on the PGA Tour as well. Which, on a side note, I was looking up actually the 2012 NCAA individual, and Thomas Peters won. He's played in the Ryder Cup. He was representing Illinois. You had Patrick Cantlay, Corey Connors, who Corey Connors won the Valero Texas Open this year. Corey Whitsett finished fourth that year.
What?
Yeah, local boy. Corey Whitsett representing Alabama. Justin Thomas, Max Homa, who won at the Wells Fargo. Keith Mitchell, who won at the Honda this year, and the Patrick Rogers namesake on the PGA Tour. So that leaderboard in terms of the top 10 was stacked in 2012. We kind of say it all the time or sometimes that it takes a while for guys to make it on the PGA Tour just because there's that learning curve from college to the pros. Got to go up through the web.com or I guess, sorry, the KFC Tour now. But, you know, guys from 2012, you're seeing now when on the PGA Tour 7 years later. Or in the case of Dylan Fratelli, Justin Thomas already won a major championship. So it's cool. It's cool seeing these guys that we knew in college. These were the guys that are about our same age. And so they're dominating now. But I think that kind of wraps it up for the John Deere. I don't really know.
That's it.
I mean, they had a really big tractor out there where you could, like, hit balls.
The tee markers are always cool.
It's like right white trash, golf tournament-ish. Everybody, I feel like every guy just wants to own a tractor at some point in his life, and John Deere provides that opportunity. So shout out to John Deere, the fifth major. I don't even know where we're going in here. All right, we're going to move on to the Open Championship. Open Championship. KJ, you said that you had some thoughts and opinions about the Open Championship, so take it away.
So top two, all right, everybody – seem to be here in Rory, hometown boy.
Yep.
You know, Brooks Koepka, DJ. I'm going to take my top two, Justin Thomas and Henrik Stenson.
Stenson?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Did well this week. and I've picked him in every other major, and he's pretty much screwed me over pretty hard. So I feel like I need to ride that train again. He's due. And then my hot take, my underdog, Joaquin Niemann. I love this kid's game.
What?
Yes. I'm not kidding.
What?
Look. He's been like top 20 the last like every tournament he's ever played, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, he finished T10 this week at the John Deere. What is he, 20 years old?
Yeah.
19?
He's a stud. He is a stud.
I don't know much about this kid.
I'm telling you.
Up right now. I don't know.
He has the best six-pack on tour.
Huh?
What?
Yeah, he's ripped.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He's a tiny dude.
I know.
I'm sure he might be ripped, but he's tiny.
I think it was Wesley Bryan commented on, he was on the cover of a magazine, and he was holding his finish, and his six-pack was, like, formed, like, through his shirt. Like, you could see it through his shirt.
I'm telling you.
Wesley Bryan said something about, like, yeah, I have that same problem, too, or something like that.
Well, he is 20 years old. I remember last year, he, like, got partial status on the PGA Tour and kept playing well, and I think that's what got him his card. He's from Chile. I just pulled up his PGA Tour profile, and he has braces on his picture.
I love it.
And you're going with him for the Open Championship.
I'm telling you, JT,
okay.
Henrik Stenson, Joaquin Niemann. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
All right.
Y'all pick three, and we'll see whose three finish better. Y'all can go with the boring picks if you would like. I do not mind. I'm comfortable.
Are we going to go picks now? T-Bone, do you want to do picks now?
Sure.
All right. You want to go?
We're doing a collective score,
okay.
Just to be clear, right?
We can.
We're doing a three-man collective score? Okay, I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
I'll go here. I'm going to go Brooks Koepka because...
Shit, shocker.
He's the major championship
slayer. I hear you.
Give him the respect that man deserves.
I hear you.
I just want to point this out. I was out of this entire podcast when we started this before the majors began,
yes.
I was the only one who picked him, and it was for the British Open. Out of all of us picking for every major, only one of us picked Brooks. I mean, I still think it's weird that I decided the British Open.
Yeah. So here were our original picks. I went with Tommy Fleetwood. KJ went with Justin Rose.
Okay.
And T-Bone went with Brooks Koepka. And shout out the Dumpy, he went with Jon Rahm. So, Jon Rahm, though, he's actually a betting favorite right now. But I guess another three guys I would have to pick, I mean, look, it's Brooks Koepka.
Gotta happen, I agree.
He plays like shit in every other tournament, but when it comes to major championship golf, it's so weird. Like, I want to hear a sports psychologist break it down. It's just the switch that he turns on, it is frankly unreal. So, I got to go Brooks Koepka. I'm going to go with... Xander Schauffele.
Good. Love the guy.
Xander. I don't know. I think he might do well in Lynx Golf.
Love that guy.
And then I'm going to go with Louis Oosthuizen.
Okay. Yeah.
Shrek.
Yeah. Shrek.
Yeah.
Mini Shrek.
Mini Shrek. Look, he's won the Open Championship before. He's the man. He's such a good ball striker, too. Hopefully
he can
just get
the... That's what you want in the wind is phenomenal ball striking.
We need to talk a little Lynx Golf, too, at some point before we close out of here, just because it's so different. And... So, yeah, before we do that, T-Bone, if you had to go with three guys, who you got?
Yeah, you took Louis from me. I'm going to take him as well.
No, don't do that. Don't be that guy.
Too late. I'm taking Louis.
Fine.
Tool.
He's just... I don't think I'm going to take an American.
Okay.
But, yeah, Louis just... He shows up a lot of the times in majors. He... Had that epic win at St. Andrews by however many shots that was. So I'm going to go with him. I feel like Fleetwood's been kind of quiet this year.
He has.
But
then again, he's never won in the States before. So a tournament like this actually might do him well.
Yeah. We'll go with Fleetwood. Hopefully his locks will keep him warm. that beard.
Those luscious locks.
And then I'm going to be pretty basic here. Be a great story to get Rory McIlroy. A win in a home country, kind of in this major drought. He's the betting favorite.
It's his home course. Literally, it's a course he grew up playing. Apparently, there's this legendary story where he shot 61 there as a teenager.
It'd almost be like playing T-Bone at Jersey Meadows, huh?
Almost.
Nobody else has a chance.
Nope. Nope, the home course. True.
Yeah, okay, that makes me want to take Rory even more then. Because I can relate to that.
Hey, T-Bone, how many courses do you own the course record at?
For highest?
I was just wondering where this question was going as well.
I don't know. He held the course record when he was a teenager with 61. That's me after like 13 holes. Mm-hmm. But some pairings that are out there, you had Tiger Woods. I don't really like this pairing for Tiger Woods. I'm not going to lie. He's playing with Patrick Reed and Matt Wallace. Those guys suck. I mean, Patrick Reed is...
Fat Pat had
we all win all Patrick Reed.
Fat Pat had a good tournament 2 weeks ago.
And then Matt Wallace, frankly, I don't know much about the guy. I just remember, I don't know if I've told the story yet or not, but on the pod or at the Players' Championship this last year, me and my friend were walking up 16 and we're by the tee box, and Matt Wallace is just roasting his caddy. He's just chewing his ass out, tearing him a new one. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? And, like, of course, there just wasn't anybody around. And my buddy and I looked at each other like, oosh, whoops on that one. But maybe the caddy deserved it. Again, it's always the caddy's fault, never the player's. So, yeah, I just don't know if I like that Tiger Woods pairing or not. Rory McIlroy is playing with Paul Casey as well as Gary Woodland. That was the other tee time that or pairings that caught my attention. U.S. Open champ, Paul Casey. He's good. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have much expectations for this week, except I know that the people in Northern Ireland are very excited to have tournament golf back in their country. It's the 148th playing at Royal Portrush, but they haven't played in Northern Ireland in 68 years. Now, there's a reason behind that. A long, complicated history reason why, but, you know, it includes bombings and killings and all the other stuff that really I didn't realize that didn't get resolved till like the 90s. So it's still a relatively recent thing that's going on here. But yeah.
Just one thing back to golf. I'm not going to.
Yeah, no.
Because this is a golf.
Yeah, that's
podcast.
All I got.
Okay.
I mean,
anyways.
I mean, I think it's important though to realize why it is such a big deal. 68 years is a very long time.
Yeah.
And considering it's the British Open, they haven't had it there in a while. So, but yeah, go ahead.
Just thinking about majors at the top of my head over the last few years, I feel like it's been a while since we've had somewhat of a low-key or no-name win.
Okay.
I feel like it's been pretty dominant or not surprising who wins majors lately. I feel like we could be due for maybe a disappointing major victory.
Is it disappointing if I called Joaquin Niemann and he wins?
No, that'd be a good story, but I wouldn't like to give you that joy and satisfaction of calling that, but I feel like we could be due for a very random win.
Well,
something.
Like a Ben Curtis win or Todd Hamilton win?
Yeah, or...
yeah, remember that? Yeah. Yep.
Or like Brant Snedeker or someone who's maybe won one major like a long time ago, like, I don't know, Jimmy Walker, Keegan Bradley... Something weird. I feel like something weird's going to happen.
Keegan Bradley is a phenomenal ball striker. He hits the ball way better.
That we're not going to be that excited about or just not on the radar.
Right.
I'd love to see Shuffle Shoes win a major.
You call him Shuffle Shoes?
Yeah, Keegan. Shit, he sneaks up on everything.
He does have a very weird pre-shot routine.
I'm surprised anybody ever has to rake his bunker shots the way he just drags his feet everywhere. Like, does he ever actually make a footprint? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Jury's still out.
Or Duff Daddy. What if Duff Daddy comes out with the win?
That would be huge.
That would be amazing.
That'd be awesome. But I feel like the last major victory that was kind of out of the blue was, unfortunately, Danny Willett.
Yeah.
Patrick Reed was, I guess he was at least, had been some success before that.
Yeah.
But it's been a while since we've had kind of a rando win a major.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't really have much expectations for it. I mean, it's going to be – we get to wake up early and watch some golf. If you want to wake up at 3 or 4 a.m. to go catch those morning tee times. You know, now that you mention it, I think I'm with you. We're almost due for a quote-unquote no-name or less under the or a more under-the-radar guy to win a major championship, which
I mean,
we don't really want, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, we want
– I said this from the beginning. We never want the underdog.
Yeah.
I think even Gary Woodland was kind of an underdog, but he's still – like I said, it was equally surprising and unsurprising.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we could get a weird one this week.
Interesting. Do you think it's going to be an American, or do you think probably it's going to be a European?
Yeah, just...
Or anywhere else in the world, not to limit those two continents here.
Other people play golf in the world, Scott.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. I mean, Dylan Fratelli, he's a South African who won this week.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I don't know. What do you think, KJ?
I think just, you know the weather's going to be shitty. And when you have links-style course, it's just
that's
so
true. Yeah, the weather is a wild card.
Anything can happen.
Right.
Anything can happen. You can get great shots out there, blow 20 yards offline, get a worse kick. Like, there's no way to say, hey, this person's going to win. It's very, like, anybody can win out there. These guys, you know, there's 40, 50 guys out there. They have their best game. They're going to win no matter what.
Right.
You know? But you get link style, you get it blowing and raining, and, you know, anything can happen. Link style golf course, you get weird bounces. You lose golf balls 10 feet away from, you know, the fairway all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just anything can happen.
Speaking of anything can happen, I think this is a good transition for the 10-year anniversary of maybe the craziest thing and potential best story of all time in golf.
It's worst story.
Would have been best story, I meant to say. Yeah, because I wanted it so bad.
It's devastating.
This marks the 10-year anniversary of Tom Watson almost winning the British Open.
Ugh. Ugh.
But unfortunately,
so close.
It's the 10-year anniversary of Stuart Sink winning the British Open. Damn.
Tom Watson 3-jacked on 18 to go into the playoff, and then Stuart Sink ended up winning. That was tough, man. That was really tough. Everybody in the world was cheering for Tom Watson. And it sucks, too, because Stuart Sink's a good dude.
Yeah.
Like, he deserved – he was probably one of those guys where he was good enough to win a major at some point. It just sucks that it happened to be the British Open with Tom Watson at the age – what was he, 59, I think, at the time? Just, ugh.
So, man, I remember Stuart Sink going on David Letterman, kind of doing his victory tour, and they did the top 10 – whatever the topic was. It was something about the British Open. And it was the number one reason was, and Stuart Sink said, even I wanted Tom Watson to win. But, yeah, that was brutal. It would have been such a cool story.
I think the story goes that when Tom Watson was in the fairway on 18, he was stuck in between clubs. He was stuck between an 8 or a 9. I think he went with the 8. That's why he went past the hole and then just – those greens are so quick and everything.
I think it just went over the back of the green.
Yeah, and I think that's right.
It wasn't even a bad shot. I think it just took
a
bad
feet,
it just took
like
a bad hop.
It was right over the hole.
Yeah, and he said the big disadvantage he had was the playoff style for the British Open is you got to play, is it 3 or 6 holes?
I think it's a 3-hole aggregate.
You play it, yeah, 3-hole aggregate score, and he said he was just
gassed.
Done by then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're 59 years old.
Yeah. Have you all ever been over to Europe to go to the British Open?
No.
I've been in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually there about, 9 years ago.
Okay.
I think I went the year after, and I got to play a bunch of golf there. The tournament was actually at St. Andrews while I was there, and back to the weather thing. The first 2 days felt like I was in California.
Mm-hmm.
It was 65, 70 degrees and sunny. And the next 8 days were just miserable. Like wind, like rainy wind going into my eyeballs, hitting 4 irons from 140 yards, things like that. 16-year-old
ripper.
16-year-old T-bone. So, yeah, that's the weather was insane.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like what you were saying earlier, KJ. Link style golf is a completely different style of golf. Phil Mickelson never thought he was going to win a British Open because he couldn't figure out how to play link style golf. For those who aren't familiar, KJ, how would you describe it? It's like, it's a course, there's no trees that is out there. A lot of pot bunkers where they're small, but they're almost like, face high or chest high sometimes. It's literally a penalty where you have to like hit out sideways half
right.
the time. And it's a lot of, like, just hills, weird angles, generally big greens, I feel like. I don't know. Am I missing anything?
No, I mean, they don't have the tree line and these water hazards and all that kind of stuff. to really penalize you for hitting bad shots like you do here in the States. So they got to make what – I mean, they're working with what they have there. That's the whole link style is you don't have much out there, so you got 4-foot-high grass. You hit a bunker, you're not hitting a 180-yard 5 or 6 iron out of there onto the green. You're hitting sand wedge, gap wedge out 90 yards from there, or maybe even sometimes dead sideways. You have greens that are, like, you know, gigantic, and if you get on the wrong side of them, there's three – sometimes you'll have a four different, you know, breaking putt.
Right.
And it's just – that's I mean, that's how they defend it, not like in the States where, hey, I missed. I'm going to go, you know, throw a dart with a lob wedge and hope I can get up and down. That doesn't happen out there. You got to learn, you know, the trajectories into greens – how much that first kick's going to give you, that's huge. You don't usually get that in the States. Most times when you play link style course, you're going to get that big first bounce, and then you'll see some spin. It's not just like throwing darts up there, but it's very different than you would, you know, play here in the United States.
Also, like you're saying, T-Bone, the weather. It is so unpredictable out there. It's really link style's only defense. And when you're playing over there in Scotland, in Ireland, the wind's going to be blowing. I think whoever wins, really, it's going to come down to luck of the draw. Really. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And I think a lot of that is a big credit to the RNA. You know, the RNA is the European version of the USGA.
You like them?
I kind of like the RNA, though, because kind of like we were saying, they let golf be golf. They set up the course the way you go, and if there's a storm that rolls in the afternoon, sorry, tough luck.
Yep.
You got to play the elements. Because there's so many times in the past at the Open where people have, like, past winners have come out of nowhere because they were able to finish early in the morning and go post a number, and then bad weather has rolled in, and the leaders are screwed. Nobody's breaking 40 on that back nine coming in. And actually, that's kind of where we get the out and in term, actually, is from St. Andrews. And, like, even when they were playing at St. Andrews, what was it, when Zach Johnson won, the wind was blowing so hard that their balls were moving on the greens. The ball was oscillating, so they literally had to suspend play because the wind was blowing so hard. That's awesome. We don't necessarily get that over here in the States. It's pretty cool.
One thing that's also really weird about watching the British Open is I'm usually in Houston or somewhere in Texas, and I'm sweating my balls off.
It's hot. Yeah.
And these guys are wearing sweaters.
Yeah. I feel like the British Open kind of gets a bad rap, too, because a lot of the courses don't look that appealing on TV, but apparently they are just still stunning and just amazing. Like the Masters. People tune in the Masters because it's beautiful a lot of the time.
Yeah, you got a lot more, like, brown grass that people will just honestly think it's, like, dead grass.
Yeah.
Or miscolored. But, yeah, I heard something about up until this week there hasn't been a divot taken off this course in, like, 2 months.
Oh, I heard that too.
2 or 3 months.
Yeah,
no one's played it.
Yeah, the people had to play with mats.
Yeah.
And hit off of it. That's so cool. I wish I could always hit off mats. It'll make my life a lot easier.
Yeah.
Especially for Dumpy.
I heard the course.
Shout out Dumpy.
Actually, Dumpy and I actually played Royalport Rush Sunday on a mat. You were supposed to show up. You didn't show up.
The TrackMan.
The TrackMan Simulator. And you didn't show because you were watching tennis.
I was watching the Wimbledon Finals. Which turned
respect.
I feel like I'm in a gay sandwich right now. I got two tennis guys on each side of me on a golf podcast. Like, I don't even know what to do.
Right, right. It was awesome. Well, I do have a qualifier coming up on Sunday, though.
Oh, good. Bring a tennis racket.
Yeah, good luck to me. Bring a tennis. Thanks, jerk. Okay. We haven't even mentioned who the defending champion is. Well, first off, the person who wins it is called the Champion Golfer of the Year. That is a cool title. It's all time.
And the Champion Golfer of the Year.
Tiger Woods.
So
no Tiger love on this for us?
I don't think so.
He didn't make the top nine.
Well, you know, according to Padraig Harrington, he isn't taking this seriously because he hasn't played at all leading into the tournament since the U.S. Open. Yeah, F off, Padraig Harrington.
He had wake-up calls at 3 a.m. looking like a psychopath.
He's posting videos. He's like, it's 1 a.m. Yeah. Getting my body adjusted already. Look, it's Tiger Woods. He can do what he wants. He's going to figure it out, but I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm probably going to wake up early and watch it at least one of the days, either Friday or Saturday, depending on how the nights go before that.
Or you won't wake up.
Or you won't wake up at all. You'll still be up.
We'll see. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's the oldest major. So the defending champion is Francesco Molinari. No repeat? We don't think he's going to do it?
It could happen.
You won a lot of money off of him last year,
I won a lot of money on him last year.
Yeah.
That was when I made that bet, people were like, you're an idiot. And I was like, okay, look at his odds. The guy's been playing coming into this. He won like either the week or the week before that.
Mm-hmm.
And when he won,
hit
hard.
He won a congressional last year.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good call. I was proud of myself.
Yeah.
T-Bone didn't give me any love, but it's all good.
And I wish I kind of knew more about the course. You know, the British Open, they have like a rotating list of courses. Carnoustie, St. Andrews, to name a few. And wait, what's the other private club that they said the Open wasn't going to be played there until they let women into their club?
Couldn't tell you.
I'll look it up here in a sec. But, yeah, I think it's going to be pretty long. I don't know if – I've actually heard the Bombers might not fare well on this course, which really opens the door up to a lot of other people, like players like Francesco Molinari. So we'll see how it goes. I'm excited. Hopefully Tiger Woods will be in the mix. It's just always better when Tiger's in the mix.
Agreed.
I'd say if him or Koepka are in the mix, then more people are just going to turn the TV on. And then obviously Rory. We haven't even mentioned Dustin Johnson. He's actually the second betting favorite right now at 10-1.
Who are the top five?
Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Jon Rahm, who
Dumpy.
Just won the, was it the Irish Open 2 weeks ago? Wait, who won the Scottish Open this week? I didn't even see.
It was Bernd Wiesberger.
Interesting. Okay. And then Tiger
Woods. Part of the 59 club, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good club to be a part of.
There we go.
Yeah.
Dropping some truth bombs.
And then Tiger Woods is right there. But then Justin Rose, Francesco, Xander, Ricky Fowler, and Cantlay kind of rounded out. Ricky Fowler.
Oh, dude.
Man, I don't know.
T-Bone, how have you not said anything about how Ricky Fowler looks right now? I feel like that is right up your alley.
Come on, fashion guy.
The
mullet and the stash.
Okay,
yeah.
Together, that's like a pow.
I thought that was going to be a...
Catalina fucking wine mixer. Pow!
I thought that was going to be a temporary look, but it's looking like it's pretty permanent.
I'm even all for it. It looks great.
Yeah, I respect it.
Yeah. Dude, you respect that?
Got to.
Looks like an 80s porn star.
Yeah. Don't play anywhere near playground.
Is the mullet making a comeback here? Because I know Coach Gundy up at Oklahoma State, he rocks the mullet now.
Pat Perez is borderline.
Pat Perez? Ooh.
He's just got long hair.
Yeah, Pat Perez just likes to drink a lot.
His doesn't look like a mullet, like a badass mullet. It looks like, you know, girl's hair. Like he's growing out his hair, which I don't know. If you're going to do that, I feel like you got to go full on, like, mullet.
Yeah, you got to commit.
Yeah, you can't half-ass it.
Well, so that's kind of our preview for the Open Championship. Overall, we're going to try to keep these episodes a little bit shorter, so to focus on it a little bit more. But honestly, I don't know if we really missed anything. I mean, Open Championship.
It's a little low-key this year.
I think it's really cool, though, once you go over there, which I've never been to Scotland or Ireland, but apparently those communities are just – golf is so entrenched in their culture, which is awesome. And I know that they sold out the tournament already. They completely sold out. And on any PGA Tour tournament that you play here in the States, even the majors, you can always walk, besides Augusta National, you can walk up to the gates and buy a ticket. That was kind of the thing about the Open, because it's so entrenched in their community that people always just, oh yeah, let's go do the Open Championship today. Might as well. We got nothing else to do today. But they sold out of all their tickets. That's how excited these people are to have the tournament back in Northern Ireland. Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. T-Bone, what you got in the golf gossip world for this week?
Yeah, so...
Slash fashion.
It's kind of a combo, actually.
Yeah, T-Bone's corner. What you got?
So, this week on golf gossip, the people's champ, Kevin Kisner, showed up to his practice round this week wearing... I don't believe there was any sponsor involved, but he was wearing a mesh hat with a navy blue bill in front that said 1776 in red.
All right.
Yes.
USA, America, love it. I can't imagine, like, that's a pretty ballsy move.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's awesome. Can you imagine if like a European person did that in the U.S.?
Why would they do that? They never took anything from us. Well, like we stole a whole fucking country from them.
Yeah,
which
that's
was pretty
true.
Dope.
Yeah, we did.
And we're about to go take the claret jug too, so that's gonna be tight as well.
Boom. Love that.
It's hard to talk shit to them when they beat our ass, stomp our ass in the Ryder Cup. But anyways, I love the USA pride.
We beat them in the Women's World Cup, though.
That's
there we go.
You're talking European, not the British right now.
Well, they knocked out England in the World Cup. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
I'm talking about in the Ryder Cup. Yeah. Like, fuck.
Anyways.
You know, the Ryder Cup like almost got canceled because the U.S. was winning it so much. That's why they opened it up to all of Europe. And then you had Seve Ballesteros coming in and just like team between him and Jose Maria Othavel, they really like put Europe on the map. And then hate to admit it, but they've just dominated us in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
I think we've won like only twice, maybe three times. Ugh. I don't want to talk about
continuing on golf gossip.
Yes. Sorry.
So we have a familiar face. Maybe the face of the unofficial face of 300 Par Pod, John Daly.
Yes,
Scott. I know you know a little bit more about this story. So,
John Daly at the PGA Championship. We actually talked about this. He was given a cart, and Trey and I were talking last week. I still find it outrageous that he's allowed to play in the PGA and the British Open, because it's John Daly. Like he's your drunk uncle at the holiday party that just happens to be really good at golf and can knock the crap out of the ball. And he's won the British Open, though, so that's why I think he can still be able to play. So because the PGA allowed him to use a cart because of a knee injury or leg injury, I believe, he asked the RNA if he could do the same thing at the British Open, and they said nope. That was the last update we had. And then it comes out this last week that he had a spider bite, a quote-unquote spider bite, and had to withdraw from the British Open. But he's still playing golf this week because he's playing at the Barbasol Championship instead of playing in the Open Championship because he can use a cart.
That's awesome.
I can't even like say this with a straight face. This is insane. He's working it. He still has his thumb like on the PGA Tour where people will still like, I don't know, I can't even describe it. They will do anything for him to get through or to get people to the tournament, except the RNA. They just said nope.
RNA?
I don't know.
RNA, this is John Daly. I'm going to need a cart this week because I got bit by a spider.
Since when did he start sounding like Ricky Bobby?
That was my impersonation.
Ricky Bobby.
It's more like, hey.
Do you think that's how it went?
Hooters lady, give me another
Do you think
beer.
He's like, guys, I got bit by a spider. I need a cart.
No. He submitted for the cart beforehand.
Okay. Oh, and
then he withdrew because of a spider bite.
Oh, okay.
There's no way it was a spider bite, right? Like,
no.
Like, what does he do? Does he send an email or a phone call, like you said, and be like, hey, like, sorry, I got bit by a spider while I'm in your country. I don't even know if he was over there in Europe yet.
I don't think he was. That was
what's going on here?
An Arkansas spider.
Right. I don't even know. I mean, the guy's a legend. He's a legend.
It.
He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Anything he does is cool.
It is.
Withdrawing from a tournament because he got bit by a spider. If that was Patrick Reed, oh my gosh.
He'd be all over his ass.
Yeah. he would be.
What if Justin
publicly
Thomas.
Humiliated.
What if Justin Thomas withdrew because of spider bite T-bone? What would you do?
Easy. That's my pick, bro. Don't put that evil on me.
I would fly to Ireland and make some sign or something and follow him around.
Be like, JT's a bitch.
Yeah,
JT's
something like that.
Nah, but I love JT. I'm with you, KJ. I love JT. But not T-bone over here. He's not a fan.
Not particularly.
I think that's kind of it. That's it for headlines leading into the tournament. Again, I know the community is very excited for this. It is the British freaking Open, the Open Championship. My apologies. And it's a cool tournament, oldest one that we got in our sport. And since 1860 is when it was first played. Francesco Molinari, Tiger Woods, headlines, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy. If those guys are in the mix, then everybody tune in. It's going to be fun to watch. Is there anything else that y'all would like to add for this week? Any announcements or Are we going to play golf this weekend? Possibly.
Yeah, we might.
So, advantage of it being played in Europe, we can watch golf in the morning and then play golf in the afternoon.
This is true.
I'll be at
late
a wedding.
Late in the afternoon, though. We don't want to... It's too hot down here.
I'll be at a wedding, so I could be going to the wedding and then continuing into the night to...
All-nighter watching it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Nice.
So...
The show goes on.
Show must go on.
Well, I think that's all I got here. So we appreciate y'all tuning in. Everybody check us out on social media at 3 on a par pod, the number 3 on a par pod, especially during major championships. We really like throwing out our opinions on Twitter and Instagram as well. So be sure to check us out there for content, hashtag team content coming your way. And wherever you're listening to this, please subscribe, write us a review, and give us a 5-star rating. But preferably give your review on Apple Podcasts. That way we'll know that we for sure see it. Also, guys, we hit the charts. I don't know if y'all know that or not. We hit the charts in Thailand.
No shit.
Yes, in the Sports and Recreation Department of Thailand.
Nice.
This last week. So, but we
spreading
made the
like
charts.
Spreading like wildfire, baby. Spreading like wildfire.
We made the charts.
Wow, shout out Thailand.
Also, tell a friend about the podcast. It is now your legal obligation from listening to this podcast that you need to write a review and tell a friend. That's it. If not, then we'll see you in court. That's pretty much.
I think that's fair.
That's it.
Yeah, it's so easy. It's so easy. How easy is it, T-Bone?
Simple.
If you do that, then we'll cancel the warrant for your arrest, and we don't have to deal with it anymore. Problem just goes away. Forgive and forget. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing here. Well, if you have any other questions that you would like to send us our way, our email is listed on there. We want to do some outside the ropes here pretty soon, but we wanted to keep this episode just open championship talk. Next week, we'll probably do a British Open review, maybe answer a question or two, but we got the playoffs that's coming up next month, and it's a few tournaments in between, like the Wyndham. I don't know, kind of low-key, boring, I guess. I mean, still golf, which is great, but until the playoffs start, I think that would be a good time to maybe, if we want to do it just outside the ropes episode where we answer your questions, maybe have a few cocktails while we're doing that as well. I don't know. The last time we tried to do that, KJ, it didn't necessarily turn out the best. All so right.
So
that was a different story. We'll share that at a different time. That is a unreleased episode that will maybe never be released. So
it's in the vault. It's not coming out.
That is a true story. That is a true story. If you want to hear more, subscribe, listen. We're going to get out of here. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. And remember,
Little White Ball is Life.